ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 हरे कृष्णा। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 19 The Appearance of Shukadev Goswami, text number 30. Sasamritastatra Mahan Mahiyasam Brahma Shri Raja Shri Deva Shri Sanghai विरोचतालं भगवान् यथेन्दुः ग्रहक्षतारा निगलार्हि पारिता ससंवृतस्तत्र महान् महीयसाम् ब्रह्म श्री राज श्री देव श्री संघै व्यरोचतालं भगवान् यथेन्दुः ग्रहक्षतारा निकिरै परीतः ससंवृतस्तत्र महान् महीयसाम् ब्रह्म श्री राज श्री देव श्री संघै व्यरोचतालं भगवान् यथेन्दुः ग्रहक्षतारा निकिरै पापरीता ससंवृतस्तत्र महान् महीयसाम् ब्रह्म श्री राज श्री देव श्री संघै विरोचितालं भगवान् यथेन्दुः ग्रहक्षतारा निखरै परीता ससंवृतस्तत्र महान् महीयसाम् ब्रह्म श्री राज श्री देव श्री संघै विरोचितालं भगवान् यथेन्दुः ग्रहक्षतारा निकिरै परीता सः श्री शुकदेव गोस्वामी संवृतः सराउंडेड बाय तत्र देयर महान ग्रेट महीयसाम ऑफ द ग्रेटेस्ट ब्रह्मर्षि सेंट अमंग द ब्राह्मणस राजर्षि सेंट अमंग द किंग्स देवर्षि Saint among the demigods, Sanghaihi, by the assembly of Viravachata, well deserved, Alam, able, Bhagavan, powerful, Yatha, as Induhu, the moon, Graha, planets, Riksha, heavenly bodies, Tara, stars, Nikrahi, by the assembly of Paritaha, surrounded by. Translation, Shukadev Goswami was then surrounded by saintly sages and demigods, just as the moon is surrounded by stars, planets and other heavenly bodies. His presence was gorgeous and he was respected by all. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the great assembly of saintly personalities, there was Vyasadeva, the Brahmarshi, Narada, the Devarshi. Parashuram, the great ruler of the Kshatriya kings, etc. Some of them were powerful incarnations of the Lord. Shukadeva Goswami was not known as Brahmashi, Rajashi or Devashi, nor was he an incarnation like Narada, Vyas or Parashuram. And yet he excelled them in respects paid. This means that the devotee of the Lord is more honored in the world than the Lord himself. One should therefore never minimize the importance of a devotee like Shukadeva Goswami.
Om Jnana Timranjasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandenam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamadam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Taitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Dipriye. Vanchakarpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Palitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So now Srila Shukadeva Goswami has been seated on Maha Asan, on a big Singhasan. And he is surrounded by great Brahmashis, Rajashi and Devashi. And lot of demigods and other saintly personalities. So the very important point that is mentioned in this verse is that the devotees are respected the most. And here the example is given as Shukadeva Goswami himself. So now let's try to understand the glories of Srila Shukadeva Goswami, because the whole section is focused upon Srila Shukadeva. Even though it's a very short purport, the point making in this purport is very significant. So we can try to understand what was the background of Shukadeva Goswami. Just like if we come to Krishna consciousness, you know, then we say, what was our background? What was our struggle before joining Krishna consciousness? You know, we have many different conditionings. You know, one can say, oh, you know, I had problem with gambling. One can say, I had problem with intoxicants. I had problem with this. I had problem with that. And, you know, somebody say, I had problem with coffee. I had problem with tea. I had problem with onion and garlic. You know, we have, you know, unlimited conditionings. If you try to see before coming to Krishna consciousness, we say, you know, I have so much of problems. And I had to give up everything to take shelter of Krishna. Or in the due course of we are practicing Krishna consciousness, okay, we gave up all these kind of unnecessary things which were conditioning us to the material realm. So this is a fact.
It depends on the place, it depends on the circumstances, what kind of conditioning. In fact, it's very funny. If somebody is a South Indian Brahmin, the main conditioning will be coffee and tea. That is the Brahminical standard, that is the Kali Yuga Brahmanas, the Brahminical conditioning. Many times I have seen, you know, one time I had to do some rituals as part of Antyeshti, the last rites to one of my relatives. And at the end, after the 10th day, the ceremony, there was the whole function, and at the end it was prescribed that there has to be coffee and tea as part of the breakfast. So it is considered a part of the culture. It's part of the culture that one should have coffee and tea. It's part of the Brahminical culture now. So there are several conditionings. And when we come to Krishna consciousness, we have to give up these kind of conditionings and take shelter of Krishna in association of the devotees. Here, Shukadev Goswami, he also had some conditioning for the sake of pastime. And what was his conditioning? His conditioning was transcendence. He was beyond the three modes of material nature. That was his conditioning. He himself confessed, in one sense, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto. He says that Paritishtitopi Dairgunye Uttama Shloka Leelaya Grihita Cheta Rajashe Akhyatam Idam Adhitavan. He says, actually, before coming to Krishna consciousness, in one sense, he is always Krishna conscious. But for the pastime sake, Sukadeva Goswami is mentioning that Paritishtitopi Nairgunye, I was already situated in transcendence, in Nairgunya, which is again translated as being situated in Brahman realization. So, however, I have been attracted by the pastimes of Krishna. So that's why when Shukadeva Goswami came out from the womb of his mother, he had no attraction whatsoever. He just came out from the womb. He was already how many years old? 16 years old. So quite a big boy. He came out from the womb of his mother, and then he didn't bother his father or mother. He just walked away. Because he had no attraction for anything, practically speaking. His consciousness was completely absorbed in Brahman. This is, we have to understand, this is for the pastime sake. Then it's very interesting because in Srimad Bhagavatam, in a very brief way, gives the history of Shukadeva Goswami. Then what happened? So this verse is from the first canto in the second chapter. Well, there are beautiful verses glorifying Srila Shukadeva Goswami. Just like Pranati, say we had a few days back, we had the disappearance day of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So we chant Pranati Mantra. So if we have any Acharya in our disciplic succession, we chant the prayers glorifying them. He can come to our Srila Prabhupada. He can come to our own spiritual masters. There is the Pranati, there is the specific mantra glorifying the spiritual master, and through that mantra we are paying obeisances unto that great personality. Now, one important part of this mantra is we are actually paying obeisances. So, Namostute or Namosmi, many words are used to represent that we are paying obeisances unto such great personality. And more than that, there is something which actually narrates the essential characteristics of such a person. So that is very significant. So that pranati in itself becomes a meditation for us. We know about Srila Prabhupada. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. So one key element is Saraswate. It's not Saraswati, it is Saraswate. Saraswate means one who is a servant or follower of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine. And Gauravani Pracharine, he is spreading Gauravani, the teachings of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And what are the two most important elements of this verse, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarane. So the whole mission of Srila Prabhupada is to vanquish two aspects. One is Nirvishesh, that is the impersonalism, right? And Shunyavad, voidism. So this verse, even though you know all these verses are four line verses, completely captures the mood and mission of such great personalities. In the same line, we have beautiful verses in Srimad Bhagavatam capturing the mood of Sukadev Goswami also. So we will come to that. So here, Sudha Goswami prays that, okay, you came out from the womb of your mother and you didn't even wait for the preliminary ceremonies which are performed at the time of childbirth. And you didn't even wait for accepting a sacred thread. And without that, you just left and walked away. And Vyasadeva, he was lamenting because his son, he hasn't seen his son for 16 years. He was right in the womb, but he couldn't take a vision of his son. And now that he has come out from the womb, and he just walked away. So he called out in sadness. So what happened? Who actually responded when Vyasadeva called out for his son? Who responded? What does Bhagavad? Yeah, exactly, trees. Only trees responded. So it is explained that the Sukadeva Goswami was such a pure devotee, he was such a great soul that even trees felt separation from Sukadeva Goswami. And it is also mentioned that, in fact, the sound of the trees, which is quite unusual, that was coming through Krishna. So Krishna orchestrated a pastime in which even the trees are calling out, they were responding to the call of Srila Vyasadeva. So this is the greatest position of Sukadeva Goswami. And then what happened? Vyasadeva, he is the Lord. He said the literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord. He is an empowered soul. So he wanted to attract his son. So Vyasadeva taught his disciples some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam and sent to Srila Sukadeva. So they were just searching for Sukadeva and they approached Sukadeva Goswami and then they narrated a couple of verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. So one verse is from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Barha Pitam Natavarapapu Karneyo Karnikaram Bibhrat Vasa Kanaka Kapisham Vaichayantim Chamala Randhyan Veno Adhara Sudhaya Apurayan Gopa Vrindai Vrindaranyam Sabadaramanam Pravishat Gita Kirti. So this verse is narrating the beautiful form of the Lord. Barha Pitam, meaning he is having a peacock feather. Natavaravapu. Natavaravapu means he's just a dancing actor on the stage. So this is the beautiful form of the Lord. Karnayo Karnikara. And his ears are decorated with Karnikara flowers. And he is being glorified by the cowherd boys, Gopa Vrindai. And he is just enchanting by his lotus feet the pastures of Vrindavan. So here is this description of Lord Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami was completely taken aback. His meditation on Brahman was completely broken and he got attracted to the Supreme Lord. Then he started thinking, this personality is such a beautiful person, will he ever accept me? Because he is such a qualified person and I am completely unqualified. So, will the Lord give me mercy? So when Sukadeva Goswami started thinking like this, then Vyasadeva had already taught his disciples one more verse, very important. That is from the 3rd canto, Ahobakiyam. Ahobakiyam sanakalakutam jikhamseya apaya dapya sadhvi lebhe gadin dhatra uchitam katonyam kamvadayalam sharanam rajayama. Kamvadayalam sharanam rajayama. Who is there more merciful than Krishna? Who has given mercy even to Putana, Baki, a Rakshasi,
who tried to kill Krishna by trying to administer poison in the form of milk. So even to Putana, the Lord awarded position of a mother in the spiritual world. So who is more merciful than Krishna? So his beauty and his quality were described. And then Shukadeva Goswami turned back and he wanted to hear more about the Supreme Lord. So he actually approached Vyasadeva. And then he learned Srimad Bhagavatam from Vyasadeva. So here you understand, Shukadeva Goswami was never in Maya. He was never in actually in Brahman realization also. But this was a pastime of the Lord for us to learn something. Similarly, even for Vyasadeva also, he got chastised by Narada Muni because he described all the Vedic literatures. He had actually written all 18 Puranas. He had divided Vedas into four. So he had presented everything and he had actually glorified Brahman aspect very nicely. So Narada Muni said, you have actually misled the whole populace by not exclusively glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And now you must glorify Krishna exclusively. And that's why Srimad Bhagavatam was written. So originally Bhagavatam was written beforehand also as part of 18 Puranas, but there was no specific glorification on Krishna. So Karan Bhagavatam is the one Vyasadeva wrote after the instruction of Narada Muni. So again, Narada Muni makes the same point. That is, Naishkramyam api uttam achyuta bhavarjitam na shobhate jnanamalam niranjanam. That is, even if the transcendence is presented, which doesn't have glorification of Krishna, that is not complete. Still, that can react. That's not complete. So, in this way, Vyasadeva, he is the literary incarnation of the Lord. He also apparently manifested as if he didn't have complete realization of the Absolute. So these are pastimes. So here Shukadeva Goswami also showing the same thing, that you know, he didn't have any attraction for the Lord, but he had. Actually he had. So in fact the sages asked Sudha Goswami, why Shukadeva Goswami took trouble in learning this vast literature? Because, you know, so many verses in Bhagavatam. If one is not attracted for this, then why one should learn this? Because he was already in transcendence, why one should learn? Then, you know, Sudha Goswami there explains the verse, Atma Rama Shamaneha. Because even Atma Rama, even one who is completely self-satisfied, get attracted to the descriptions of the Lord, by the qualities of Hari. So this is the position of Shukadeva Goswami. So in fact, Sudha Goswami, he actually offers obeisances unto Shukadeva Goswami as a pranati, as an offering, and that actually mentions the real mood of and the real mission of Srila Shukadeva. So Bhagavatam, why Bhagavatam was spoken? So that is narrated in this verse.
Yaswanipam akhilashruti saramekam adhyatma deepam adititirshatam tamondham samsarinam karunayah purana guhyam tam vyasa sunum upayami guru muninam.
So here Shukadeva Goswami is addressed as Guru Muninam. He is the guru, he is the spiritual master of all the sages. So this verse is actually glorifying, showing the greatness of Shukadeva Goswami. So here, the Shukadeva Goswami is known as the Guru of all the sages, Guru Munina. And then, the mood or the mission in which Shukadeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam is also described. Why he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam? Samsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam. Samsarinam karunayaha. Samsari means one who is completely materially conditioned. For the materialistic people. So, who are they? Please, I am. Now, we have material mind and we have so much of material tendencies even after taking up Krishna consciousness. So, samsarinam karunayaha. Karuna. Karuna means
compassion. Out of compassion for the materialistic people, Sukadeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Purana Guhyam, which is a secret. This knowledge is secret. Even if it is presented, actually it is a secret. In fact, Bhagavatam was there, you know, 5,000 years. Still, people give so many misinterpretations to Srimad Bhagavatam. If you go to Bhagavat Saptas, they have a storyline and they have their own philosophy. There are so many Bhagavat Saptas in which they narrate the stories very nicely. They specialize, they sing, they have musical accompaniment in the whole Bhagavat Sapta. It's like a theatrical performance. And in between sometimes dance and other performances. And the whoever is presenting, Acharya, is singing. And if he is not a good singer, there are singers for him. And there is harmonium, violin, according to the mood. So different instruments are played. So the whole scene is there, but the real message is not transmitted. Now, there are people who hear Bhagavatam decade after decades, not just for one time 7 days, but decade after decades. Still, they eat meat because there is no transformation. There is no transformation in the character, no in the personal habit. It's not possible because they only narrate stories. It has no value when if the actual meaning is not delivered. What one should do, that's not given. So this is the scenario where Sukadeva Goswami is speaking for the conditioned souls, and we are fortunate because Srila Prabhupada is giving what we have to do. Prabhupada is saying, okay, you follow four regulative principles. You chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So Prabhupada is giving the instructions, not just the pastimes. So that's the reason when Srila Prabhupada presented pastimes, there is tattva, there is philosophy, and also there is leela. So it is not just leela only. The leela is given, the pastimes are given, and along with the philosophy, so that we can understand, we don't mistake any presentations, and we apply something in our life. So this is a very important and a cautious presentation of the pastimes of the Lord. Now, continuing on the greatness of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, it said, there is a beautiful verse again by Shiva, Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva says, Aham vedmi shuko veti vyaso veti na vetiva bhaktiya bhagavatam grahyam na buddhya na chatikaya. So it is said, Aham vedmi, Lord Shiva is the greatest of Vaishnavas. He says, I know the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he says, Shukaveti, and Shukadeva also may know the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. But Vyasa, Veti na Vetiva, he may know or he may not know. So this is a very interesting statement actually. So Lord Shiva, he is the Param Vaishnava, so he knows the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sukadeva Goswami, he also knows the meaning of Bhagavatam. But it is mentioned that Vyasadeva may know or may not know. Why it is mentioned like that? Okay, on one side, Shiva, we can understand his position, so he must understand the whole meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sukadeva is considered or knowledgeable on Srimad Bhagavatam because he heard Srimad Bhagavatam and he had completely realized Srimad Bhagavatam and then he had repeated with complete conviction and realization. So, Lord Shiva is completely convinced that Sukadeva Goswami knows the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And a doubt is given about Vyasadeva. It's not that Vyasadeva doesn't know, but it is given because he is just acting as an instrument in bringing Bhagavatam to the material world. So, just a doubt is given. And also, another reason is that Sukadeva Goswami's realization is superior to that of Vyasadeva, even though Vyasadeva is a literary incarnation of the Lord. So that's why Vyasadeva is ready to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from his son. Otherwise, what's the point? Vyasadeva could have spoken Srimad Bhagavatam. But Sukadeva Goswami, since he has superior realization, everyone else was ready to hear from him. Even though, as is mentioned in this purport, that he was not an incarnation of the Lord. He was not a Brahmarshi, he was not a Devashi and he was not a Rajashi. Still, just being the devotee and just being intimate to the Supreme Lord, he was qualified to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And for others, they accepted a humble position to hear Bhagavatam from him. So this is a very important point, because if we want to hear anything, we have to accept a humble position. If we are not humble, we will not listen anything. Now we say sometimes, oh, that Prabhu or Mataji is giving Srimad Bhagavatam, I won't listen. No point. I mean, we choose speakers, correct? It happens. We choose speakers. We think, you know, that if that is, yeah, very good, you know, we will enjoy that class. That one, no, not really good. We actually classify. And sometimes it can come to some extent that, you know, I need to know this Prabhu or Mataji is giving Bhagavatam, which are the days in a month. Then accordingly I will attend Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because we are not actually hearing Bhagavatam. We are not open to hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. We may be simply enjoying the jokes, for example, or just the stories. The message is not actually conveyed. We are not taking the message. But if we accept a humble position, then we can get the message from anyone. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada taught this. Srila Prabhupada said, Srila Prabhupada, he himself used to listen Bhagavatam from his disciples. And he used to relish. It's not that he was thinking, you know, I know this, you know, I'm a Paramahamsa, I have heard this so many times. So what is new in it? So in one letter, Srila Prabhupada wrote that, you must listen Srimad Bhagavatam from your godbrothers. Don't be a more Paramahamsa than me. Because I am listening Bhagavatam from my disciples. Don't be a better Paramahamsa than me. So this is a statement of Srila Prabhupada. So it is, we had to accept a humble position. So all these great personalities, incarnations, they themselves accepted a humble position to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And in need, if we have real need to get message from Srimad Bhagavatam, then we will get that message from anyone. Whoever speaks Bhagavatam, we will get that message. But if not, we will miss that point. Because Krishna has to ultimately sanction Matta Smriti Jnanam Apohanam Cha. If you want to realize something, Krishna has to sanction. So this is our position. Next, who is Shukadeva Goswami? He is Shuka. Shuka means parrot. Now there is Shuka and Shari. Shuka is a male parrot and Shari is female parrot in the spiritual world. So they are messengers of Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna. They are glorifying Krishna all the time. You know, there are beautiful words, actually there are beautiful songs. Song sung by Shuka and Shari, you know, maybe in the song book you can see, you know, Kungumabja Kar. Have you heard the song? No? It's a nice song. Actually, it's a beautiful song, you know. I think it's by Krishna Kavirat Goswami. You know, one song by Shuka, and in the same meter, another song by Shari. Nice verses. So, beautiful songs. Have you heard the songs? Yeah? Which one? The Kungumabja Kanchanabja. No, it's not Radhikashtam. Yeah, it's Radhikashtam, but it's sung by Shari, I think. Yeah. A beautiful verse, you know. Kungumapta Kanjanapta Karvahari Gorabha. It's nice. Nice tune. Final line is Mahyamatma Pada Padma Dasya Dasya Radhika, right? The old verse finishes by Mahyamatma Pada Padma Dasya Dasya Radhika. Beautiful verses. So, seeking mercy of Srimad Radharani to get her service. So, you know, on the other side, you know, praying for Krishna for his service, like that. So, beautiful verses. This is the eternal position of Shukadeva Goswami, who is always glorifying Krishna. And now, in the material world, for the benefit of people like us, who has so much of material desires, has spoken Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, again, glorifying Shukadeva Goswami, he is such a great devotee that he cannot utter the word Srimati Radha. Right? Because if he speaks the word Srimati Radharani, then he will fall into ecstasy. Then he may not be able to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, because here is a deadline. You know, there's a project and there's a deadline. You know, we have to meet many deadlines. If there's a work, you know, or any service, okay, we have, you know, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, or in a few days or few months,
Here the deadline is only 7 days. So Shukadev Goswami, he thought, if I actually speak about Srimati Radharani, then it would be very difficult. Because if I become unconscious in ecstasy, then you know 7 days will pass and you know what will happen to Parikshit Maharaj. So he purposefully avoided describing directly the word Radha. However, it is a very interesting statement that Srimati Radharani was so merciful that she wanted to come into Bhagavatam by herself to show her mercy. So actually Shukadeva Goswami purposely didn't want to speak Srimati Radharani's name, but Radharani was so merciful that she wanted to come into the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam indirectly. So that's the reason in the 10th canto the verse is the Anya Radhito Nunam Bhagavan Hari Vishraha Yano Vikhaya Govinda Pritoyam Anayadraha. So Aradhita Nunam, indeed there is a gopi, by her the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari was perfectly worshipped. And the Lord was pleased so much so that he abandoned all of us and took her to a secluded place. So this is a verse spoken by Shukadeva Goswami where it is mentioned Aradhita Nunam. Indeed, there is a gopi that is referring to Srimati Radharani, because Aradhita Iti Radha, one who perfectly worships Krishna. So in that way, Srimati Radharani, out of her mercy, came into the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam to show her compassion for all materialistic people, including us, if we have any material desires. So we have to hear Bhagavatam. We have to hear Bhagavatam, and through hearing Bhagavatam, we can get purified. And we can develop taste for Krishna's pastimes, because which is essential. Because our minds have to be captured by something spiritual. That is the only way we can be aloof from material clutches. Our mind has to be captured. Now, we can see that the mind is captured by the material energy. In fact, there is a very nice verse where it is mentioned that it's a prayer in which it is mentioned that just like our heart is being completely captured by the material desires, oh my Lord, kindly allow the spiritual desire to capture my mind, the spiritual thoughts to capture my mind. So this is very important, because we have one experience of being completely under the shelter of the material energy and under the shelter of material desires. But in the same way, if the spiritual desires come to our heart, then we are saved. So that is the only remedy that we have. So we have to develop taste for the pastimes of the Lord as we progress in Krishna consciousness. So the point I am trying to make here is we have to hear Bhagavatam right from the beginning till the end. And then after that, again from the beginning till the end. So this is our process. And when we get purified, we develop some attraction for the pastimes of Krishna. So we have to understand that the quality of presentation of Krishna's pastimes matters. One may think, you know, I'll watch some little Krishna. In that way, I'll develop some taste for, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam, for pastimes of Krishna. We have to understand the difference in quality. We should never compare little Krishna to Srimad Bhagavatam verses. You know, there are some people say, actually, devotees, initiated devotees says, you know, to nourish my consciousness, morning I watch a little bit of, you know, little Krishna. Then during the day I have some impact. Yeah, which is true. You know, rather than watching some Bollywood or Hollywood movies, okay, watching little Krishna, there is some benefit is there. We don't deny that fact. But as devotees who are trying to practice seriously, we have to develop taste for verses of Bhagavatam. Because verses of Bhagavatam, they are conscious. They can reciprocate. If we think about verses of Bhagavatam, they can reciprocate. They can come into our mind. That's how the mind gets purified. Because now, so many material thoughts are coming to the mind. Instead, when verses of Bhagavatam come to our heart, that is purification. That is actually elevating our consciousness from material realm to spiritual realm. That helps. So we have to actually recite, we have to read, we have to think the verses of Bhagavatam. So in that way, slowly we see, okay, there is some change to our consciousness.
So, and okay, who is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam? Shukadeva Goswami is speaking Bhagavatam. So, whenever the narrations of the Lord is presented, the quality of the speaker has an impact. So, the highest presentation of the pastimes of the Lord is by Srila Shukadeva, because he has the most intimate association with the Lord. And he's the direct witness of the intimate pastimes of the Lord. So this is another important point on Srila Shukadeva Goswami. And continuing further, Shukadeva Goswami is so concerned and he's so in tune with the residents of Kali Yuga. So he very clearly understands that all do not have the good fortune to witness Krishna's pastimes. So he spoke indeed Srimad Bhagavatam. And after speaking Bhagavatam, that is, okay, first canto, second canto, we can go up till 10th canto. So he finished all 10th canto, narrating all pastimes of the Lord. And at the end, in the 90th chapter, he presents a verse. And there is a very key element to this verse. He presents this verse for those who people who feel that, for those who people who feel that, okay, I have missed the pastimes of the Lord. That who feel that, oh, Krishna had already performed his pastimes and he has gone. So how about us? We don't have any association of Krishna. So whoever feels like that, for them, Srila Shukadeva Goswami present one verse which is summarizing the pastimes of the Lord. So that is very interesting. So this is a verse spoken by Shukadeva Goswami in the 90th chapter of 10th canto, verse number 48. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to recite these verses again and again, especially in the Rath Yatra pastime. We can see he dancing in front of Jagannath, and then he's reciting this verse which is summarizing the whole pastimes of the Lord. So we can see how these verses are bringing so much of meanings and so much of elaborate descriptions of the Lord. This particular verse is Jayati Janani Vaso Devaki Janma Vada. So in this verse, in each line, in each word has significance, and each word is bringing forth so much of understanding about the Lord. The first word itself is Jayati. Jayati means all glories to, or is glorious. So why Shukadeva Goswami says that the Lord is glorious? So the explanation is that the Lord's name, form, qualities and pastimes are eternally glorified. It is glorious eternally. It's not that he performed his pastimes, so it was glorious. No, it is glorious. Because in the prakat or in the apragat form, the Lord's pastimes are still manifesting. It is still present. So Shukadeva Goswami says, Jayati is glorious. Jananivaso. And who is that? Jananivas. Jananivas. What's the meaning of Jananivas? Jananivas means one who is situated in everyone's heart as the super soul. So that is Jananivas. That is one meaning. Second meaning is that Jananivas means one who is the shelter of all the living entities. And third, Jananivas means he is residing among all the Yadavas, all the Vrishnis. He is just Jananivas. He is among the Jana. Jan means people, right? So he is just living among all the Vrishnis, just like a normal person. You know, he is just among them. And the fourth meaning is that he is just living and one among the Brajavasis. So see? So even just one word, so beautifully described. Jananivasa. So this is Krishna. So he has various aspects. He is super soul. He is the shelter of all living entities. And he is one among the Vrishnis. And he is one among the Brajavasis. And it is said, Devaki Janmavada. So here each word is so carefully chosen. Devaki Janmavada. Devaki Janmavada means he is known as the son of Devaki. He is known as the son of Devaki. So Srila Prabhupada says that he is addressed as Devaki Janmavad, and before that he is mentioned addressed as Jananivas, because he is presented as a super soul first, and then it is given that he is the son of Devaki. So Mayavadis shouldn't misinterpret. But otherwise they can say he is the son of Devaki. He's, you know, just like any one of us, he has a mother, so that is Devaki, that's all. But Prabhu says no. So since he is Jananivas, since he is the super soul, so he is not ordinary. He is something beyond. So his next point is that he is known as the son of Devaki. Why? Because the Lord, the Supreme Absolute Truth, doesn't have any father or mother as such. Because he is the Supreme Absolute Truth. So he is known as the son of Devaki. Then third thing is that he is known as the son of Devaki, but actual mother is Yashoda. So, you know, different levels. The same one word has so many meanings. Devaki Janma Vata. Then it is mentioned Yadukula Parishad. Yadukula Parishad. Yadukula Parishad means he is served by the Vrishnis. The Yadukula, they served Krishna. When he was in Madhura, when he was in Dwarka, he was being served by all the residents of Yadu dynasty in one way or the other. So Yadukula Parishad, that is one meaning. Second is, he is also being served by the residents of Vrindavan, which is more intimate. So Yadukula Parishad. Then Swayar Dorbhir Asyan Adharma. Swayar Dorbhir. Swayar Dorbhir means with his both his hands. Okay, he has a purpose for both of his hands. What is that? Asyan Adharma. He wants to annihilate all the miscreants. And in that way, he wants to establish religiosity. As we hear from Bhagavad Gita, Paripranaya Sadhuna Vinashayacha Dushkritam. So that is one of the side benefit of Krishna's appearance, or side mission, not the main thing. So, and it's mentioned, okay, he himself killed so many demons, correct? Krishna himself killed so many demons. And not only that, this soil door with his arms are extended through his devotees like Arjuna. Because Arjuna is also considered the arms of Krishna. So Krishna himself killed so many demons. But Arjuna also killed so many demons in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So Arjuna is considered an extension of arms of Krishna. So Soyar Dorpa Asyan Adharmam. Then Stira Chala Vrijanagna. Stira Chala Vrijanagna. He removed all the inauspiciousness of moving and non-moving entities. So it is mentioned, Krishna can actually annihilate all the demons even without his appearance. Because the material nature has sufficient potency to do so. But the Lord wanted to give mercy to even the animals. And he wanted to award liberation to the demons. So it is mentioned, even Stira Chala Virajanakna, he wanted to give the supreme auspiciousness of liberation even to animals and the trees. And finally it is mentioned, Susmita Shri Mukhena Vrajapura Vanidana Vardhayan Kamadevam. So Susmita means by his beautiful smile. Yesterday Prabhu was speaking about Hasam, Mukhabja Hasam. Yes, Prana Prabhu was giving a lecture yesterday. Yeah. He was speaking about Mukhabja Hasam. His lotus face was completely laughing from ear to ear, right? But this is just Smitam. Smitam means just a smile. And what is the smile? It's a susmita. You know, even a person, if is ugly by all material standards, if he or she smiles, there is some beauty to it. A person, anyone, if someone smiles, there is some beauty to it. But here, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is the reservoir of all the beauty. And think about his smile. So that is Susmita, Shri Mukhena. So his face is addressed as Shri Mukha. It is the most beautiful face. So Susmita Shri Mukhena, Vrajapura Vanitanam Vardhayan Kamatemam. He increased the desires of the damsels of Vrindavan by his Susmita. So this is the most intimate aspect of Krishna. So Shukadeva Goswami is starting from his birth and is coming to the most intimate aspect of Krishna. So in that way, Shukadeva Goswami is presenting a summary of Krishna's pastimes. And he wanted all the devotees who are feeling separation from Krishna, or who thinks that we missed the pastimes of Krishna, to take advantage of this. So we can see the consciousness of Shukadeva Goswami. He is in tune with the happenings of the material world, and he is in tune with the happenings of Kali Yuga, and he is in tune with the devotee's consciousness. So here in this purport it is mentioned, it means that the devotees of the Lord is excelled, that means, sorry, the devotees of the Lord is more honored in the world than the Lord himself. So Lord Shiva says, Tasmat Paradaram Devi Tadiyanam Samacharan. Correct? That is, okay, Aradhana Sarvesham Param Vishnu Aradhana. The highest worship is worship of the Lord Vishnu. But even superior is the worship of his devotees. So that point is mentioned in this purport. And here we can see Shukadeva Goswami is being worshipped even in front of other incarnations like Vyas, like Narada, and even Parashuram. Because we had to understand the background of Parashuram. He had trouble with Lord Ram. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, in the Bhishma Deva's passing away, that even though he had trouble with Lord Ram, he didn't offend Krishna in any respect, because he understood Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he didn't want to do anything with him. And here also, in front of Shukadeva Goswami also, Parashuram is submissively listening the pastimes of Krishna. So we have to take one very important point to our life, that is respecting the devotees, because we are in constant association of the devotees, and we can take devotees for granted. It happens in due course of time. We can take devotees for just granted, or they are fine, you know. But the reality is that if we take them for granted, we have the tendency to commit offenses, and that's the beginning of our fall down. So we had to be very mindful about the devotees. What is their position? So Krishna cares about his devotees. We may not care, but Krishna cares about his devotees. So we have to very, very carefully deal with the devotees always. We had to understand their position. They may have some conditioning. We had to understand, okay, the whole mood should be to encourage the devotees, not to just to find fault, which is our, you know, one strong tendency that we have. So we have to get away from that and try to help the devotees and to serve the devotees. In that way we can be in a safer position in our Krishna consciousness. So with that, I stop and see if there are any comments or questions or corrections. Yes, please.
Just a small comment.
Yeah.
When you said Radharani wanted to come in, can we say that Lord Krishna wanted Radharani to come in? This is more.
Okay. Thank you.
Is Lord Krishna comes under Kshatriya or is a Brahmana?
His birth is as a Brahmana, but he took the role of a Kshatriya because he is the son of Jamadagni. Jamadagni was a great Brahmana, right? Huh? Yeah, Krishna. He is the son of Jamadagni. But what happened with the Jamadagni? He asked all his sons, because his mother, Parashuram's mother, misbehaved. He acted in an unchaste way, momentarily. Just momentarily. So Jamadagni asked his sons, I want a favor from you. So he asked the first son, you must kill your mother. So they said, no, I can't. So Jamadagni cursed them to death. Then finally, when it came to Parashuram, Parashuram said, yes, I will do that. He killed his own mother. So he knew, because then Jamadagni asked, okay, I'm very much pleased. Then what do you want from me? He said, okay, bring my mother back to life. Because Parashuram already knew, if he killed, he will ask for a boon, and then I can get my mother back. So like that. So he acted in a Kshatriya spirit right from the beginning. So even the Brahmana acted as a Kshatriya.
My question is, in Krishna book, like it says, like, well, the battlefield, etc., was taking place. Like, Balaram went on his whole.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so he went up to the Malayas and made his obeisances and respects to Parasarama. So, and Parasarama, being one of the 10 incarnations of Krishna, he's the supreme personality of Godhead himself. How did he offend Balaram?
That's the whole pastime, right? Because
what did he?
How did Parashuram offend Lord Ram? There was a fight between Lord Ram and Parashuram, right? Because Parashuram's Lord Shiva bow belonged to Parashuram.
Lord Shiva
and Parashuram
was
worshipped Lord Shiva in that respect. So he was angry because the bow was broken by Lord Ram in the swayamvar of with Mother Sita. So when he returned after getting the hand of Mother Sita, on the way Parashuram impeded the way and stopped and said, okay, we'll have a fight, and that fight continued like that. Yeah. The past time someone else had a question. Yeah.
What
was the purpose? Narada is mentioned as an incarnation. Yes. So, that's what I didn't mention. He is the incarnation, I didn't mention in the lecture. Narada is the incarnation of Bhakti Shakti. He is the empowerment of devotion service. So, he's an empowered incarnation, not a Vishnudatta, but a Jiva empowered by the Lord for a specific mission. So, in the first canto of Bhagavatam, in the description of the narration of the whole list of different incarnations, Narada Muni's name is mentioned. Similarly, Kumara's names are also mentioned. They have Jnana Shakti. Like that.
Yeah. I was going to ask why the first round was worshipping the machine. Already the last one.
Yeah. Yes, bro.
What does the term literary incarnation mean? Like you asked, it was
literary incarnation to empower to write the Vedas. So he has the empowerment because it's a vast literature. You know, not an ordinary being can write such a vast literature. It's not just 100,000 or 200,000 verses. It's like, you know, millions of verses. But Srimad Mahabharata, how many verses? 200,000. 100,000 verses in Mahabharata. Bhagavatam, 18,000 verses. And other Puranas are there. 18 Puranas are there. This is one of the Puranas. This is not the biggest, I think. Srimad Bhagavatam is not the biggest Purana. So, how many thousands of verses? So, it is. And also, he also divided Vedas and he made sure that the Vedas were written. Currently, I think the biggest Veda currently available is Rigveda. It has 10,500 verses. But that's partial. That's what's available now. So actually, I think around 10% of the Vedas is available. I think for, you know, centuries only, Rigveda has only 10,500 verses. It looks short in that sense, but actually that's not complete. So, you know, writing this is not a normal task. One needs empowerment by the Lord to write these things. That's why there has to be a literary incarnation who can actually write the literature for the benefit of the conditioned souls. Yeah. Okay.
No, the library which had all the way the literature was found by Aurangzeb, and the fire went on for 3 days.
Yeah, that is it. That. A lot of literature were lost. Yeah. Yes.
All this Bhagavad Sutta happening in India, this has been happening for many, many years. What sort of anything the person like to us, if he listens to this Bhagavad Sutta?
Many times no benefit. Sometimes it can degrade one, because if they speak about pastimes of the Lord, say, I'll give you an example. If you watch a movie, one can degrade one's consciousness, right? By watching a movie, it's possible. Because if you see the activities which are not good for the consciousness, you get degraded. Correct? And another, in the same line, say if there is a hero and a heroine dancing, if somebody is watching, enjoying that, what is in his mind? If he is nicely enjoying, one is placing oneself in the position of the hero, if he is a man. is a woman placing oneself in the role of the heroine, and in that way, you know, enjoying the mind, the whole mental enjoyment is going on. Correct? In the same way, many people when they speak Srimad Bhagavatam and especially narrations of Radha and Krishna, they are presenting just like a Bollywood movie. Mm-hmm. And whoever is hearing this, they are thinking, I am Krishna. Mm-hmm. So what kind of benefit do they get?
Nothing.
They get degraded. They get degraded. So this is the ill effect of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from non-devotees.
So yeah. There are some bona fide speakers as well, like Domriji Maharaj and all, they have heard in India.
I don't know who is bona fide. If you pull out names, I cannot comment. If it is bona fide coming in the disciplic succession and presenting the right conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam, there will be benefit. Otherwise, no benefit. I don't know, I haven't heard from them. How can I comment? If they are giving the message of Bhagavatam, there has to be transformation in the heart and they should become devotees of Krishna. And they should stop illicit activities, they should follow regulatory principles and chant Hare Krishna or Krishna's names in general. If that is happening, it's fine. If that's not happening, it's not bona fide. There is something wrong.
You can say very slowly.
Huh?
Many lives.
Maybe, if it is right. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Gaur Premande.